Hello and welcome. Today we've got Melissa Redpill, and today we are going to be discussing or exposing the Cabal's plan. The Cabal, obviously, they're losing power. Everyone's waking up and their machine is failing. Now, just before we begin, you can subscribe to my Instagram channel at nicholas.tavenyamin, where you can follow all my daily news reels. Melissa, thank you so much for joining me. How are you and what have you been up to?
Hey, I'm so glad to see you. We have just been in Hawaii. Oh my goodness, it was so beautiful, so fun. And I was sharing this over on my social media. I don't know if you got the chance to see it, but I wanted to talk today about Pearl Harbor and how they've always been doing the same thing. They always start these wars and they lie to us to get us to start a war. And the crazy thing is, we're not doing that anymore. That's what's so amazing. In our day, we're finally waking up to what they're doing, and nobody is supporting going to war. Don't you find that odd?
Absolutely. People are waking up. People want peace. They want freedom. They want low interest rates. They want no
Right.
taxes. They want,
Right.
you
And just
know,
don't kill us. Right. Just quit.
exactly.
We don't,
Absolutely.
we're not, no one's going to join the army right now, the military. You know, and it's because they're like, we can't trust that they won't send us into some proxy war. So this is, and so they did this in, I've got evidence where they did this in Pearl Harbor. They also how they did it to foment the Vietnam War. So let's go. You ready?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Let's go. All right. Okay. Here's my channel, you guys. If you are new, go to check out freedomforce.live. I talk about how this is biblical. And yeah, Nicholas and I were having a really great conversation before we started. We're going to have another one, a video, and share some of these great things with you soon. So don't forget to go and check it out. Tons and tons of research over here on the videos categories. And then also don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. This has been so great. A lot of people are really catching on. This is an amazing day. So keep sharing our videos. So this was Hawaii. I wanted to show you. We took an airplane ride, and we actually, that is Zuckerberg's property. When you go over there, you can't see his property. We drove past it, but we couldn't see it. And that's actually some of his homes that are on this, like a $200 million piece of property right on Kauai. So it was beautiful, but also kind of cool to get to see all of that. Here's the video. It's kind of loud. Sorry, that's loud. All right. Sorry, that's awfully loud. I didn't realize it was going to be that loud. But yeah, it was
No, we didn't really hear anything from this end.
you didn't hear it? Okay.
No,
Okay.
we
Okay. Well,
didn't.
that's great. So let me see if I can do it again, but it's
No, we can't hear anything. No, there's no sound, just to let you know,
okay,
just for our future, because I know you want
good.
to probably show other videos later, so we
Okay,
want
isn't
to
that
make sure
weird?
the
That's
sound.
funny. And then this one right here, see where it juts in right there, right along the coast, and then it juts in right there, right in there is Gilligan's Island. Did you ever watch Gilligan's Island? You're probably too young to watch
No,
Gilligan's Island.
no.
No, that wasn't your thing.
Crazy.
Okay, that was big in America, you know, when I was a kid and we'd come home from school and watch Gilligan's Island while we have your snack. Anyway, so that's right in there. So that was kind of cool to get to do that. But the thing that I wanted to get to show you guys that was kind of fun, but this was not as fun. In Oahu, if you ever get to go to Oahu, everybody, go to the palace of Queen Liliuokalani. She was the last reigning queen of Hawaii. And so this is heartbreaking, but this is what they do. They did a coup d'etat. The American government did a coup d'etat to take over Hawaii. That's a kind of a big red pill, but that's what they did. And so, you know, they've been doing this for quite some time. And then finally, they were able to take it over, unfortunately. And so it was the overthrow. So what's so heartbreaking is her husband was supposed to come back from a trip. He was on a ship coming back from Los Angeles, and he died on the way. And when I saw this, probably 14 years ago, I probably didn't catch on, but I think they killed him, right? Very likely they killed him. And so she knew that then the next thing that was going to happen, it was just the end of Hawaii being a free country. A free kingdom, really. And so they ended up putting her into her because she was fighting for to could retain her throne, and they ended up the American government ended up keeping her in this room in the palace for the basically the rest of her life. She was sequestered in this place. It's awful. It's awful what they've done. And so, of course, back in 19, what is it, 52, I think is when Hawaii became a state. But what it shows you is they've done this all over the world, but they aren't really adding. Basically, when the CIA, the American government takes over these countries, they're not adding them into being a state, but they are controlling them just the same. So I didn't, a lot of people don't know about this. And a very interesting thing I found out was that in order for them to do their coup d'etat, they had all the illegals, the non-citizens, vote. How about that?
That's crazy. Yeah, something familiar that we're aware of, right?
Yes, exactly. So, years ago, when I listened to this, I didn't catch on maybe to all these little pieces of the puzzle, but that's what they've been doing all over the world. So, the same thing that they've stolen elections all over, just like we know that the people of the Palestinians did not elect duly the Hamas leadership. It's just all over the world. There's just been so much brainwashing and so much theft of these elections. So I want you to see that. This is the video I wanted you guys to also see. This is where they're talking about the plot to foment this war with the Japanese because they were desperate to bring in the American people into the war. Before Pearl Harbor, no one was pro-war. They didn't want to join into the war. But after this, they were like, we want to, a million people signed up for the war. So I want you guys to hear this because this is very telling. I think it's really important that we share this because they've been doing it over and over and over.
Attacked the American fleet at Pearl Harbor, triggering our entry into that war. President Franklin D. Roosevelt declared the attack was a day that will live in infamy. A day of infamy indeed, but not because of the alleged surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. After 60 years of surfacing information, it is clear that not only was the attack on Pearl Harbor known weeks in advance, it was outright wanted and provoked. Roosevelt, whose family had been New York bankers since the 18th century, whose uncle Frederick was on the original Federal Reserve Board, was very sympathetic to the interests of the international bankers, and the interest was to enter the war, as we've seen, nothing is more profitable for international bankers than war. In a journal entry by Roosevelt's Secretary of War, Henry Stimson, dated November 25th, 1941, he documented a conversation he had with Roosevelt. The question was, how should we maneuver them into firing the first shot? It was desirable to make sure the Japanese be the ones to do this, so that there should remain no doubt as to who were the aggressors. In the months leading up to the attack on Pearl Harbor, Roosevelt had done almost everything in his power to anger the Japanese, showing a posture of aggression. He halted all of Japan's imports of American petroleum. He froze all the Japanese assets in the United States. He made public loans to nationalist China and supplied military aid to the British, both enemies of Japan in the war.
I want you to see that. So this is what was happening before the Japanese, flew on and bombed Pearl Harbor. He'd halted the trade and frozen their assets. Well, we know that that's what just happened. Like 2 weeks ago, they're seizing all the Russian assets. And we talked about that on our last video, that they're sending all of the Russian assets to Ukraine. Thankfully, the Russians got their money out before this it was able to be seized and sent to Ukraine. And he also aided Japan's enemies, the Chinese, which is against the laws of war. That was against the rules of war. So they were doing this to instigate this war. And of course, we know that they finance all these sides. They run all these sides of the war. So what was interesting, if you ever get to go there, you'll see they've got markers where each of the ships were lined up, both sides, all around the harbor, really, and just sitting ducks. And I'm not a military strategist, but I know that that's stupid. You're just leaving them all right there available to be just completely decimated. And of course, then we've got to go build more. And it's big, big money. So.
Interesting. Yeah.
Which, by the way, is completely in violation of international war rules. And on December 4th, 3 days before the attack, Australian intelligence told Roosevelt about a Japanese task force moving towards Pearl Harbor. Roosevelt ignored it. So, as hoped and allowed, on December 7th, 1941, Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, killing 2,400 soldiers. Before Pearl Harbor, 83% of the American public wanted nothing to do with the war. After Pearl Harbor, 1 million men volunteered for the war.
Okay, did you catch that? 1 million men volunteered. Just like, really, after 9/11, everybody wanted to go to war with Iraq, right? Mm. You know, it's just... just outrageous, because we trusted that the government was telling us the truth, that they knew what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing that was interesting, and it's not on this video, is that there was a man who saw the planes coming, and he was, get a load of this, it was his first day on the job. How many times does that happen? It's always that the one who's, you know, who's in this key position, it's always their first day. It's like, I just thought.
Are you talking about the planes from 9/11 or these planes?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about the planes into Pearl Harbor.
Got it.
Okay. And so they didn't believe him. They're like, oh, this is just your first day. I mean, I just think that when they're doing this, they put in rookies that no one will listen to and say, oh, you don't really, you know, this is your first day. They surely we're not being attacked. It's your first day. They're just doing this. They put in all these people in these key positions so that their plans, their evil plans can go just the way they want them to. Yeah. So yeah, this was a bit, clearly everybody thought that they were being, you know, Americans and, you know, whatever. And next thing you know, just so many millions died. We are on to it now. Thank God. We're just not playing it anymore.
Exactly.
It is important to note, Nazi Germany's war effort was largely supported by two organizations, one of which was called IG Farben. IG Farben produced 84% of Germany's explosives and even the Zyklon B used in the concentration camps to kill millions. One of the unspoken partners of IG Farben was J.D. Rockefeller's Standard Oil Company in America. In fact, the German Air Force could not operate without a special additive patented by Rockefeller Standard Oil. The drastic bombing of London by Nazi Germany, for example, was made possible by a $20 million sale of fuel to IG Farben by the Rockefeller Standard Oil Company. This is just one small point on the topic of how American business funded both sides of World War II. One other treasonous organization worth mentioning is the Union Banking Corporation of New York City. Not only did it finance numerous aspects of Hitler's rise to power, along with actual materials during the war, it was also a Nazi money laundering bank, which was eventually exposed for having millions of dollars of Nazi money in its vaults. The Union Banking Corporation of New York was eventually seized for violations of the Trading with the Enemy Act. Guess who the director and vice president of the Union Bank was? Prescott Bush, our current president's grandfather, and of course, our former president's father. Keep that in mind when considering the moral and political dispositions of the Bush family.
There you go. Some people haven't seen this. I remember this was some of my first red pills that I choked down years ago. You know, this was actually, the Bible talks about John was red pilled. I talk about this in my book, End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace. There's a chapter in there about John eating this scroll, and this scroll would be sweet going down. Cause it's like, when you're researching, you're like, oh, this is very, very good information. Like we're watching here. But the more you think about it, it just makes you, that scroll made him sick to his stomach. And it's just like, to imagine that we believe these people. Go ahead.
I mean, are the Bushes undercover Rothschild people?
Well, their real name, their German name, is Scherf, and so Scherff, I think is how you spell it. But yeah, so they were fun. They were clearly operatives to controlling to running. I don't know if they're physically Rothschilds. You know, I don't know their lineage really, if it comes directly from the Rothschilds, but they're clearly operatives for them.
Of course, yeah.
And so it's always the bankers and these big monopolies, because Standard Oil was the big, you know, Rockefeller was a big monopoly. And so he's funding, you know, making sure that they have the supplies that they need to basically for both sides of the war to keep this thing ginned up.
And then
all the money, you know, and the proof, clearly the evidence is that this was, they were the bankers for both sides.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So we know this is their mode of operation. I think enough people are onto it who realize how they are playing this. We're just not, that's the miracle that we're not going to have, we're not going to do this anymore. And it's just so awful that they intentionally were fomenting. We've seen them trying to get us, stoking us into war with Russia, but we're not doing it.
Yeah.
The only thing that's happening is Russia, you know, Putin is cleaning out the Nazis in Ukraine, but he's not coming over here and, you know, bombing America, thank God, or Europe. He hasn't, you know, done that. And they're saying he's going to do it and whatever. They're trying to, you know, seize his assets just like they did back in the day with the Japanese, but it's not working because he's not controlled by the Roddies anymore. I call them Roddies.
Yeah.
All right, so then hopefully we have time to do the Vietnam one. This one is hugely important because this was maybe before, you know, you haven't maybe heard as much about this one, but there was an attack supposedly, but that was what triggered the Vietnam War, us to enter into the Vietnam War, but it's proven now that it was fake. It didn't happen. It didn't happen at all. Typical.
Interesting. I mean, I'm not surprised.
No, exactly. Never, me neither.
Resolution here, put the commas, had been shelved.
What I want is somebody that can lay out some plans to trap these guys and hook hell out of them, kill some of them. That's what I want to do. I'll try and bring something back and we'll meet that objective.
Yep. Okay, so before I play anymore, think about that these people are part of this secret society, and he's saying this is what I need you to come up with, some kind of story, some kind of baloney that we can put out into the media so that we can start a war. He says, well, let me go see what I can do.
Mm-hmm. What he called an unprovoked attack, he got his resolution.
Congressional leaders of both parties supported the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. In fact, only two members of Congress voted against the resolution: Senators Morse of Oregon and Greening of Alaska.
Being in the minority never proves that you're wrong. In fact, history is going to record that Senator Greening and I voted in the interest of the American people this morning when we voted against this resolution. And I'd have the American people remember what this resolution really is. It's a resolution which seeks to give the President of the United States the power to make war without a declaration of war.
The Gulf of Tonkin resolution was not a declaration of war. There never was a declaration of war in Vietnam, but it served much the same purpose. The president was given broad powers to wage war. But what the Congress did not know, what the country did not know, is that the second attack in the Gulf of Tonkin may never have happened.
We now know beyond any reasonable doubt that it did not happen.
If one telegram, which we later found from Commander Herrick of the Maddox, had been made available to the committee at that time, I'm quite sure they would have had long hearings, gone into it thoroughly, and if they'd been able to discover the facts as they actually were, I don't believe they'd pass the resolution, because it was based upon absolutely false, erroneous information. The events as they related them of August the 4th, 1964, were not true. Our ships were, it was not an unprovoked, deliberate attack. In fact, there was no attack at all.
The captains in the Gulf reported what they were ordered to report.
It's also been suggested that Washington was putting a great deal of pressure on you to come up with some positive answers to what happened that night. A positive answer being, yes, we were attacked.
I'm sure they needed one. That's what we were trying to obtain for them. We bailed them and sent it in.
Yeah, I don't know if you caught that, but the guy is basically admitting that they wanted some kind of report. And he said, okay, well, we'll come up with one for you. And it was
right.
Completely made up, totally fabricated. And they used it and put this all throughout the media. So this other guy, that Morse guy, there were two congressmen who said no, they would not vote to proceed and go into war. But this other guy said, oh, if we'd known then what we know now, it's just like people saying now, that if they'd known about the COVID. We don't need people in Congress and in these key positions who just do as they're told who are part of this secret society to foment war, to push a vaccine or any of that. We don't need that. We need people who can think for themselves and who have, just like these other two, have the steely backbone to stand up and do what's right. What we're seeing through, they do this time and time and time again. But for some reason, by the grace of God, it's not working this time. So it's a few more minutes. This is such great information.
Mm-hmm. Donna shoved an empty golf.
Just above the bridge of the Maddox, where Captain Herrick was, is the main gun director. And inside the director was the sailor who was in charge of firing those powerful 5-inch guns. His job was to open fire once the enemy targets were spotted on radar or sonar. Those are the main methods for detecting targets you can't see directly. The man in charge of the main gun director, August 4th, 1964, was a 4-year veteran. He was also an expert sonar man, Patrick Park. Park is now a businessman in Los Angeles.
Tommy, do you think that night, August 4th, in the pitch black, in a heavy swell, rainstorms, was there anything to shoot at out there?
No, I don't. I'm certain that there was not anything to shoot at right from the beginning. The captain asked me immediately after the attack to go down and evaluate all the recordings that had been made of noise that sonar was reporting. And I kept myself pretty busy for the next 3 days, really, trying to evaluate these things and determine if we had heard anything that might have been even a question mark, that it might have been a torpedo or anything else in the water not related to the two ships or noise of either one of them.
Then what was your evaluation?
Absolutely nothing.
The pilot saw nothing. Before James Bond Stockdale became a North Vietnamese prisoner of war or Ross Perot's running mate, he was flying air cover over the destroyers at the time of the alleged second attack.
In Stockdale's words, I flew so low there was salt spray on my windshield, and I still didn't see a thing. Meaning he never saw torpedoes or any evidence that the U.S. ships had been fired upon. The captain of the Ticonderoga's Attack Squadron 56, Commander Wesley L. McDonald, concurred he didn't see anything that night except the Maddox and the Turner Joy. After this flight, he and those in his command met behind closed doors, and each wrote accounts of what they did and did not see. Stockdale then locked these reports in his safe. The next morning, Commander James Stockdale was ordered to lead the first U.S. airstrike on North Vietnam.
I personally am convinced in my own mind that no attack took place on the 4th. But, of course, it's impossible, really, in a way, for me to prove a negative. I'll put it this way. They most certainly did not prove the affirmative case that there was an attack.
No second attack. And since that attack was the excuse that the president used to take the whole country to war in Vietnam, what are we to make of the following recently released White House tape? In it, LBJ and McNamara discuss the second Gulf of Tonkin attack before it takes place, as though they are planning on it.
At base. Now, this is an action that we might well wish to consider after the second attack, but I think it would be inappropriate, General Wheeler agrees and Dean Rusk agrees, inappropriate to provide the task force commander that authority. There will be ample time for us after a second attack to bring this problem to your attention. You can then decide how far you wish to pursue the attacker into his base area. But I wish we could have something that we've already picked out and just hit about three of them damn quick, right? We will have that, and I talked to Mac Bundy a moment ago and told him I thought that was the most important subject we should consider today, and be prepared to recommend to you a response, a retaliation move against North Vietnam in the event this attack takes place within the next 6 to 9 hours. And we better do that at lunch. There's some things I don't want to go in with these other. I want to keep this as close as I can. So let's just try to keep it to the
pooper. I'll be prepared to do so at lunch.
Nick Wong Mi.
On the night of August 4th, the United States made public the so-called Gulf of Tonkin incident. But the story was a fabrication created by the U.S. National Security Council. Even as the National Security Council met, American aircraft were being sent to destroy several areas of our country. In reality, the second Gulf of Tonkin incident never happened.
The whole basis of this war was a fraud and a lie perpetrated at the highest levels of our government. Remember that as we surveyed the damage that was done to ourselves and especially to Vietnam.
There you go.
Now, interesting. Thank you for sharing.
Yes. So important that we, you know, get red pilled and share these red pills with people and realize we just have to put a stop to it. And my strong belief is this is the day we're going to put a stop to it. And mm-hmm. What did you think about hearing, did you catch what they were, somehow they got an audio recording of President Johnson talking about, oh, we've got this second attack coming. Well, you can tell they're just playing war games. They're just plotting it out, plotting it and planning it.
Yeah.
These people are sick.
They're very sick. They're demonic. They're sons of Satan, if you like.
Yes. I agree. And so this is the day that all this evidence, like this was a video, audio evidence from 1964. So imagine that they have all this evidence on them. They have President Trump and the White Hats have video, audio, texts, everything to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that these people have been doing this very same thing to us in our day. Yeah, there was this one, I just posted a video about, go check out my Telegram, you guys. You can see it, find out where it is on freedomforce.live. Here it is, the 14th of May, 2024, where this woman was saying about all the chemtrails that, and they've got the evidence of all of this, of what they're pouring, spewing on us. It's making us sick. You know, we have all this evidence. So hang on tight, because I really do, you know, President Trump said this is 2024 is the final battle. I really do.
Yeah.
We're really closing in. And I think that we may have a big awakening here soon. You know, this is we're doing the counting of the Omer. This is what we do. And the 50th day is actually the day after President Trump's birthday. So I just find all this timing really interesting. I think that there's a lot of awakening that's happening. This is my channel, you guys. We just did a video on this one right here. I want you to see this one right here, about hot dogs and cannibals. President Trump was talking about that in his most recent speech. Very, very interesting words that he was using. And I also talk about who are the first fruits. Nicholas and I were talking about a little bit of that before we came on live. But this is some really interesting things. If you are awake, I want you to know, just like these Omer, we pick one every day to count for 50 days. You were handpicked. You are hand selected by the Lord to fight in this battle. And that's why you're awake and other people are not. You're the first ones to rise and wake up. All right. So the other thing I want to show you, I love this series. When you go on YouTube, you guys, you can just search The Chosen. It's got 2.58 million subscribers. It's very, very easy to find. And so you'll just love it. So this is one. I want you guys to see this. Because most of the Christian church has taught that Jesus is just peaceful and kind and all this. And yes, he is, but he's also takes it straight to these criminals. And you can see how he did this here when there's a man who has a withered hand and he's taking it right into the synagogue and he's, you know, they don't want him to come in and help people. Check this out.
Yeah.
No Ammonite or Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation, none of them may enter the assembly of the Lord forever. Because they did not meet you with bread and with water on the way.
Shalom.
Even to the 10th generation, none of them may enter the assembly of the Lord forever.
I see.
Because they did not meet you with bread and with what? Excuse me. What are you doing?
What is your name?
Elam.
Your friend Elam has a withered hand.
Are you a healer? It is not lawful to heal on Sabbath.
Okay, so let me just stop it real quick, make sure you guys catch. They are like, we have our rules. This is the way we do things. And you better do as we say. It's not lawful to heal on the Sabbath. And it's not so different from these people in Washington, D.C. President Trump has to go in there and you know, change things the way that they've been doing it, because what they're doing has been clearly wrong. And they're like, no, this is the way we do it. You know, and they won't let him, you know, they don't want to have him come in and shake things up. So here he's really going to tick him off.
Which one of you who has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath will not take hold of it and lift it out?
Who are you to speak to our congregation in such a way?
How much more value is this man than a
sheep? Stop this at once.
Come here. Come stand here. It's okay.
Elam, sit down. We don't know this person. He could be a shaman.
Is it lawful on Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or to kill?
This affliction does not threaten his life.
It does not even affect his health.
They clearly don't care about this man.
Get it out. Good, yeah.
If he wasn't supposed to be healed, God would have done it himself.
Interesting point. Yet. Gladly.
Blasphemer! What is wrong with you?
Apparently everything.
What? Very jealous, aren't they?
Oh my gosh, they are so jealous. Yeah. And they want it run their way. They cared nothing for this man. Clearly.
Yeah.
Anybody with in their right mind would be like, oh, and we're so excited that you come in and heal this man. And you know, it's just, this is the same type of thing that these people are doing in this day. You are not allowed to say, you know, anything except for what they allow you to say.
Yeah, well, they want to get rid of cash. They want to make it illegal for you to give money to the poor. You know?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. This, we're fighting the same types of people that Jesus was fighting back in the day.
Of course, I see. Like,
glad to walk out of this synagogue. You know, I think a lot of people don't realize that this Chosen movie series is really done well. Really, really is. And I showed you guys one last week that was just so beautiful, and about the leper. Remember the leper, and Jesus healed him. And so, yeah, it's. I'm just enjoying it. I think you guys will too. I think that's everything I had to show. Oh, here's a little clip, real quick. We probably don't have time to show it, but super quick. This is Ashley Biden. So this is some really good stuff for you guys to share about Ashley Biden's diary. And so these people have it, and this is from Project Veritas. They're always doing such a great job. Yeah, I'll just play this real quick. But she's telling them, yes, this is mine, and I want to get it back from you. Because it's obviously evidence of what her father did to her, which is so disgusting.
This point, and I don't mean to, I don't want to have to get Secret Service involved in this, right? Because it's a whole process.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I am Ashley Biden. It is my stuff. So if you could just skip all of that over, I'd really appreciate it. I know you sent a picture to my husband with a camera and a few other things that are mine as well. So that would be really great. Where is a good place for him to meet you?
There you go. Yeah. So that was trending yesterday on social media, I guess it was on Twitter, that she's admitting that this is hers, and that where she's has in her diary that what her father did to her.
Yeah,
so we need all these things we need to share to just everything we share, people, it'll help people wake up and realize the truth and who we're fighting. People who
yeah, absolutely. That was an excellent presentation, Melissa. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today. I know you'd like to pray. Is that correct?
Of course, as always, because, you know, we can't win this battle except for the Lord. We just need him. Thank you so much, Lord, for us being able to get the truth out. Lord, just thank you for all those who are listening, who are so busy every day getting the truth out, because you've handpicked each one to do this amazing job. What an honor it is. We're so thankful that you have helped us to understand so that we can help others understand. Some people we might not ever meet. Lord, just bless our efforts so that this truth runs, and we're just so ready for everyone to wake up for this great harvest, and that we're the first fruits, but we get to see this amazing harvest. Thank you for our wonderful President Trump and how he's taking it straight to these evildoers, and we just can't even wait to see them being brought down, and we just pray all this in your great name, King Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you very much, Melissa, and we'll speak again very soon. You take care, and God bless you.
Thank you. Bye, guys. Hey there, Patriots. I want you guys to see my wonderful friend who saved my life and my mother's life and more lives than I can tell you about. Her name is Dr. Laura. Hey, Dr. Laura, I'm glad to see you.
Hey, Melissa. Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for having me back here. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Yes, I love you so much. I'm so thankful for you. You guys, if you don't know about Dr. Laura, we met, goodness, how much is it, 3 years ago?
I believe so, yes.
Something like that when my mom was just in terrible pain. If you guys are new to the channel, you might not know about this. My mom was on 3 opioids a day, and she couldn't even walk across the room. She was in such horrible, horrible pain, and I was just beyond myself, and I prayed to the Lord. I said, please, Lord, give me a solution. He guided me to a mutual friend of ours who had been treated by Dr. Laura, and I just, by hope against hope, we went to see, and my mom is doing amazing now. My mom doesn't even take aspirin. It's amazing. And we're so thankful. She's got her life back. And also, you guys, those of you who weren't around, most of you probably were, that know that I was poisoned about a year ago, and Dr. Laura fixed me up and brought me back to health. And look at me. I can't even believe, you would never imagine what we were going through a year ago, right, Dr. Laura?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it was a rough time.
Not being able to breathe is not a good thing. So I want you guys to get to hear what she does and see if this can help you or your family members, because you do not have to be in pain. Many of our illnesses, many of our maladies are nerve related. Most maladies have some type of nerve issue that's involved. And so tell us, Dr. Laura, what you do to treat nerves, even though we've heard all of our lives, you can't fix a nerve. Tell us what you do.
All right. Well, first of all, Melissa, I want to thank you again for being here, but also for the opportunity and the honor to treat you and to treat your family and your mom. When you were telling me how long ago have we known each other, it reminded me of the story of what happened to your mom. And if it's okay, I would like to share it with everybody. Yes. Because yes, I think it could give us a great example of how neural therapy works too, right?
Yes.
And it's a beautiful story.
I love it because, you know, what she went through, the Lord has used to bless so many people and help so many people. I just never would have imagined how this is just, you know, blossomed into helping people who had been living their lives in terrible pain and just thought that there was no hope. And I'm just so thankful that you've been able to give hope to so many people. Yeah. So tell that story.
All right. Okay. I love this because when you were saying it was 3 years ago, I was thinking, yes, it was actually, it's going to be 4 years this year.
Okay, maybe
it was but it's closer to 3 years now because it was for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I remember so well because I was flying to Colombia. I'm originally from Colombia, and I was going there to see my family during the time of Thanksgiving. At the same time, I was in my process to become a citizen here. I was so excited about that.
Yeah.
But you guys know that for flying, you need a passport. And during that time, I was contacted to say, to be able to become a citizen, one of the things that we need is your Colombian passport. And we're going to hold it while we do this process. And it could take, you know, I think it was 2020. So you guys know how crazy everything was there. So I didn't know when I could go. I had my tickets bought. I didn't have any patients at that time because I was not going to going to be here. So we have like cleared the schedule. And I received the news, you know, at the email that I needed to give my passport if I wanted to continue with the process. So I was like, okay, Lord, I guess you know better.
Right. And the Christmas plans had to be shelved.
Yes. Yes. So if this is the way, there is a reason why you don't want me to leave right now. So I'm not going to. And I just left it like that. And the next day I received a call from the office and they're telling me, well, doctor, I know that you didn't have any patients scheduled, but there is this lady and she keeps calling and calling me.
She's very persistent.
She's very persistent.
And she's desperate.
And her mom doesn't live here in Houston. And she's here for, you know, for Thanksgiving and for the holidays. And she's hoping that you can see her. I was like, well, if you had called me yesterday, I would have said no because I was flying. But I guess I'm free now.
Yeah.
So that's when I met you and your mother. That's when you were my only patients for that whole week, and because I was focused on that, on you guys. And as you said, when I saw her, she's definitely not the person who she is today.
Right, who she really is. Right, exactly. Right? Because when you're in such pain, you can't even be yourself. You're just all she could talk about was the pain. She could not even take it away from it. Yeah.
So yeah, I remember her and you saying that, you know, and I know your mom now, like she's so active and she's traveling all the time. I know she just came back from Alaska, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, but then at that time, she could, and I know like she's super stylish. She loves to have her house really pretty and clean and she does everything herself. And you were telling me that she couldn't even like clean up her house, and that was killing her just because that was one of the things that she loved the most to do. Right. And she would spend her day just in the couch or in bed. Right. I remember that. Right. And I was,
it was bad.
Yes. And I was like, well, we're gonna give everything we can into this. So what she had at that point was an radiculopathy on her lumbar area. I think radiculopathy, it's called, which is basically an inflammation of the nerves in the lower back in her lumbar area. But it was so bad, it was developing sciatica, and she couldn't walk much, right?
Right. The shooting pain down the leg. I'm sure you guys have heard of that happening. And it's just so painful. You can't even function. Yeah. And it was like I likened it to a pinball machine. It was just sending pain signals here, pain signals there, and it just would not stop. Yeah.
Correct. Exactly. And then, she has had previous surgeries before trying to correct that issue into the same area and other procedures as well.
Right.
And at this point, you guys were on 3 opiates a day and just trying to survive. But I saw that you had more hope than she did at that time, which is common when you're so discouraged, you have tried everything. Right. And that's most of the patients that we see.
Right. Well, but it's because I had talked to our mutual friend, Gertie, and she had said that she came in and she gave me a lot of hope. And I trust Gertie. She said that she had been in terrible pain and now the pain was gone. She said, your mom will be well. And it was hard for me to believe, but I believe Gertie. Like I said, and really, the doctors had not given us any hope at all. Right. And I know there are a lot of people out there listening to this, that you're in that same boat, that the doctors give you no hope. And so, so mom's issue was that the nerves were all inflamed. And like, if you look at scar tissue, you could see it on her that the scar tissue was pooched out. And so basically Dr. Laura has treatments that she can do to bring that inflammation down, so they don't keep sending that terrible pain signal that's not needed. Go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt.
Correct. No, you're doing a fantastic job. Thank you for helping me. And you have been listening to this for like 3 years now, so she knows what she's talking about. But that's exactly what it happens. We're diminishing inflammation, stopping the signal of pain, but at the same time, helping to rebuild, to restore that area, because we do have the ability to heal.
Yes.
And we tap into that.
Yes.
That's possible.
That's what you taught me when I was sick. So you guys, right. I'm fast forwarding to my issue was where my phrenic nerve had been frozen. That's what controls your diaphragm. And so I could not breathe. And they're like, oh, well, you know, you're going to be sick the rest of your life. And so we, you know, Dr. Laura treated the phrenic nerve as well as other nerves. And I'm breathing. I'm breathing like a champ. And so that's what, you know, our nerves can be restored, can be healed. And my heart was damaged. Remember, I'm sure you do. And my heart was all enlarged. And now it's back to normal. They gave me no hope that would happen. And now it is.
Yes.
So I'm so thankful. Okay, let's go back to the story.
So get off the track. No, that's great. That's great. And thank you, because it shows how it really works. At the end of the day, we do have the ability to heal. And if we tap into the nervous system and send that message, it can be done. So for your mom, I remember that within the first week of session, so let's say, I don't know, the fifth by seventh session, we were really seeing a lot of progress. And that's why you guys decided to come back.
Right.
And keep doing it, because our location is in Houston, but your mom was coming from another state. She came, had her treatment, and I think after probably with her was 20 or 30 sessions total.
24, I think.
24. We were on another page, and she wasn't taking any opioids, and now she's traveling all over the world.
Right. Literally, so, I got to tell you this story. The other day, they're in the airport and they are trying to make a connection and they're like running out of time. They're going to, afraid the mother's going to miss her flight. She's literally, do the math. Y'all know I'm 60, so do the math. She's, you know, she's older than 60 and she's running through the airport. How many people like that do you know who can do that? And she's telling my Papa George, like, oh, George, run, run. I mean, just, she couldn't have even begun to think about doing that before. I just want to give everybody hope that this can happen. And since then, I started to share this. I said, not even the 24 treatments, after I started to see that this worked, I said, Dr. Laura, I've got to tell my people about this because I have a feeling that a lot of them are either they themselves or their loved ones are experiencing the same thing. We need to see if we can help people all over the country. And I know it's kind of a pain to have to fly into Houston, but you know, it's just so many people have done that and have gotten their lives back. So how much is your life worth? But and we've also seen people with Guillain-Barre. We've seen people with, I say we. I've seen the healing. She's the one who's the doctor. I'm just.
But I love that, and I want to
see the healing.
Thank you for, but also because you're like you said, you're giving hope to so many people. Yeah. Chronic pain. Yeah. I think it's over 100 million Americans are suffering from chronic pain today.
Right. Exactly.
So that you are able to share that, and that we are able to talk to them, and they know there is hope.
Right. Maybe not with the regular doctors. I'm just going to say that. But okay. So there's also what I have discovered, and you've helped me with this. Also, a dear friend of mine who has been having a lot of issues with bipolar and depression. And see, that's all nerve related too. It's a nervous disorder. It's a nervous, like people have a nervous breakdown. It's based upon the nerves, and so. The nerves can be treated with the neural therapy, with amino acids, with serotonin, with CBD, and think of it like a frayed hair follicle. You know, your hair is all frizzy, and it can calm it down and to get it to work properly. So they also have been working on me. This is not an easy thing. To get me to calm down, which is not there. I mean, it's easy to do everything else that they do, but to get me to calm down is not easy. So that's been also another piece of it for me to be, you know, able to, how do you call it? The parasympathetic system, so that your body is working in harmony.
Exactly. So we have the sympathetic nervous system, which is the fight and flight response, which is where we're using most of the time when we're stressed. And then we have the parasympathetic nervous system, which does, you can work as well, but you're doing it in a calm way.
Right.
So what we were doing with Melissa too, is to to let her, she is bubbly and we all love that about her. I don't want her to change that, but that she can do that from a state of peace and harmony.
Yes, yes.
And that can be done as
yes.
well.
Yes, yes. So yeah. Dr. Laura says that I have, I don't know if y'all can tell, but my blood pressure is down naturally. So that's, you know, that's really, you know, as much as possible to stay away from, you know, big pharma. If you want to learn more about this, go to prescribinglife.com. And she's got her number on the screen right here, 713-352-8249. And what she does, I want you to tell them what you do when people first call, but also go to freedomforce.live/depression. If you want to find out about another more ways to treat the nervous system. And there's a book on there about how to help with bipolar and depression symptoms. And it included in that book about neural therapy, because it's so much about treating the nerves. In the millennial kingdom, we're not going to have all of this mental illness. That's going to be gone. It's going to be a thing of the past, because this will be known. You know, there are very few neural therapists in the country, unfortunately. And in the future, there will be a lot of them who treat these symptoms before they get debilitating and out of hand. So tell everyone what you do. Let's say if we call you and we want to know more about it, what happens next?
All right. So we're trying to make it as easy for everybody as possible. So basically you call, and it doesn't matter where you are, from what state you are, we can have a telemedicine. So it's a virtual call, it's video call. So I can see you can see us as well. And we can go through your case, figure out if we're a good fit, which most people are, and give you an idea, explain really well what the treatment entails, how long do you need to be here. Usually, so to make it easier for people, we try to do packages of sessions where people can be here for a week and have up to 10 sessions in just 1 week, yes. Then go back home. We wait for a couple of months and then have another
package
of sessions.
Right.
So the idea is to help as many people as we can. We know it's difficult because, yes, you guys know we're all located here in Texas, but we're trying to make it as, you know, convenient as possible.
Yes, yes. So then you'll get to talk to Dr. Laura. And
right.
all the pictures. I don't know if you do that with everybody, but I like to see the pictures and see exactly what we're doing.
Exactly. And, you know, so actually,
Because like you're treating sometimes the top of my head. I'm like, what are we doing up there? But it all stems from your head. Right.
Yes, that's the base of your nervous system, right? So we go through your case and we tell you what we will be doing. We go to a plan together and then we'll schedule your first session and hopefully, you know, meet you in person.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. I'm so thankful to be part of this. I just never imagined, you know, we just take each step by faith and we just trust the Lord each step of the way and look what he does, you know, and to see people, I cannot wait until the millennial kingdom when everyone is well, you know, it says that we'll live as long as trees and have time to enjoy our hard won gains. We're going to have health, you guys. I want you to really stand on that promise and believe that and say, look, Lord, I want to have that. I want to believe you and receive that promise that we're going to have these bodies that will heal. They were created to heal. And that we will not buy into the lies. We'll buy into the truth that the Lord has for us. So I hope you guys love that. You also have a Telegram channel. It's Prescribing Life USA. Prescribing Life USA. And you can see lots of videos over there of testimonials of people who are telling their story about how they have been made better with neural therapy. They have it in Europe, but unfortunately they haven't had it in the US. What does that tell you? Anyway, is there anything else, Dr. Laura, that you wanted to tell everybody?
I think that's it. I like that you mentioned the testimonials. We have a lot of testimonials of different kinds of issues, ailments that they're in Telegram and as well in YouTube, Prescribing Live. So you guys, if you want to see a lot of those testimonials, or just call us and we'll send you all the videos.
There you go. I love that. And there's Guillain-Barre, Lyme disease. What was the one with the Bell's palsy? Just any kind of nerve related things that can be.
And of course, pain, that's what we see most days, right? Most of located in any area. So Right. Because they're all stem from inflammations, like you said.
Yes. So. Okay. Well, let's pray before we go, and then we'll jet. I love you guys. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, that you are revealing to us how we can be well, and that you're guiding us as you always do. Lord, guide us into all truth, truth for our bodies, for our health, truth for our the peace of mind, truth about our country, truth on who to trust. And we just thank you that you are bringing us all together so that we can know the truth. And as you said, the truth will set us free, especially for our health and in so many ways. So we just give you praise and thanks for raising up people like Dr. Laura who have studied and researched and know how to truly help us to be well. We just thank you for this amazing day that we are get to live in and watch your kingdom come and your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray all this in your great name, King Jesus. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you, Dr. Laura. I just love you to pieces. I'm so thankful for you. All right, guys, and I will talk to you later.